Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
I think the change has to fall on our shoulders individually and as a team. The change has to come in this room. No matter what happens, it still has to come from in this room. That's it. No one else's. It has no one else's responsibility but our own and my own.
They'll have extra time to think about last night's loss because of the gap between games, and they are running into a back-to-back this weekend with Toronto here on Friday, at Boston on Saturday, off today as the team will return to practice tomorrow on the heels of a lopsided loss in Montreal last night. With Marty, I'm Brian. Welcome into Sabres Live. I feel like this is one of those games that you typically would punt it as far down the field as possible,
yeah.
Right? But there's an attachment to it. You know, the 10 previous games. And that's where I'm wondering how, as a player, as a coach, anyone around this, puts that where it was and moves forward. Because you just heard Alex talk about, like, who has to change this. But obviously everybody is always going to be trying to change this, right?
Well, I said the exact same thing, Duffer, at the very end of the broadcast when we were about to toss it to you guys. I said,
I had you on mute.
Yeah, I know you did. Then you're preparing for, like, what, you know, what are we saying now? Post game. Like, come on. But I said, games like this, usually you say, we'll put it in the garbage and we'll, like, refocus for the next one. But you can't with that one. You can't. This is 11 in a row now. And the way that it happened, where so much emphasis on, you know, we all have to be better. Got to find a solution. Mm-hmm. You know, Lindy Ruff comes out and says, it's on me. I got to get the guys better. And then, you know, 19 seconds into the game, on a turnover, like, the game sheet is not going to say it. The game sheet doesn't say it. The game sheet actually says, Nicholas Obey-Kubel, takeaway, because the Montreal Canadiens player tries to pass in the neutral zone. He knocks it down. He has full control at the blue line. So they give him a takeaway, but they don't give him the turnover. And then they come up the ice, and it was Armia, who was the late, you know, kind of guy coming in, that ends up with the puck. Yeah, is it a bad bounce that goes off the referee? Absolutely, but it doesn't matter. Because if you make the plays in the first minute of the game that you've talked about, we got to make plays. We can't turn pucks over. We have to back check to the middle. Have strong on pucks. All of that. Well, then it doesn't happen 19 seconds in, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't go that way. And the other things that the coaches and the players have talked about, got to be disciplined. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to, you just lost to Montreal 7-5, and Cole Caulfield scored a couple of power play goals. And
right.
So you know that, well, you know what? We've got a lot of videos on their power play. Oh, wait, they have a new player now from 7 games, Patrick Laine. Oh, he scored on the power play. You got to watch him. And it was bombs away. It was like, feed Patrick Laine for the one-timer. So much so that at one point I thought, well, he's not going to keep shooting because they're going to know they're going to get in the way. Mm-hmm. And he kept shooting and kept scoring. Like, so, I mean, we're not in the meetings, but I'm like, okay, like, where's the disconnect right now? Mm-hmm. Is it not registering when coaches say, listen, 92 is going to be on the half wall and 92 is going to be taking one-timers. So mm-hmm. like Ovechkin, like Stamkos, like Ilya Kovalchuk, like Brett Hall, whatever, you know, it's there. Mm-hmm. Get in the way, right? Or is it not being presented to them in that way? But I doubt that. I doubt that because they do so much work to prepare that. I doubt that it's not being presented. I just think that, again, like Alex Tuck said, it's on them. And I've mentioned it before. It's on the players. They have to be able to take in the information and apply it on the ice. And right now, it's not happening.
Most people, many people, at their youngest age, they learn to ask the question, why?
Yeah.
So, like, that's just a natural thing, right? Like, why? 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 And so when you were saying that, I'm thinking, why? Like, this wasn't present in the first 20 games. Like, sure, they didn't get off to a Winnipeg Jets start to the season, but they were above 500, and they were doing all the things that you're talking about that didn't happen
yeah.
last night in coverage on a power play for Montreal or whatever, acting individually as opposed to layering to help cover inevitable mistakes, because that's the game. The game is full of mistakes. You are teaching yourself on a daily basis to position yourselves for the tougher moments so that you can get out of them without the impact that we saw last night, Montreal mm-hmm. putting up six. It's like, so I am struggling with the why here. Like, and not, there's a few games, certainly, in the past 11 that we know easily could have found their way into the win column. And there have been a couple that have been closer to last night.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, like, every team, we talk about this all the time. I mean, most games are one goal to one and a half type games, right? Like, I watched San Jose last night. They once again suffered the horrible fate of giving up a last 2 minute goal on home ice and not even getting a point. But 10 minutes earlier, I was sitting there in disbelief that once again, this Sharks team was outplaying the Winnipeg Jets, had taken the third period lead.
Yeah, they had an
18-year-old Celebrini, again, being the catalyst, right? They're, and then at the end of the day, they lose, so people only see that, right? Yeah, the Sharks, they keep losing. They've lost five in a row.
Well, you got to watch the games, and you got to pay attention right. to the games, and okay, we can look at the numbers and say, well, okay, so what's the problem, and what are the numbers? Some numbers mm-hmm. are glaring. Some numbers are scary for the Sabres right now. Power play went 0-for-5 with two shots. Two shots in five power plays last night.
And
we know that the power play's been struggling.
And a 5-on-3.
They had a 5-on-3. Yeah. They didn't get a shot on the 5-on-3.
Right.
So, you know, that's glaring numbers that, well, you don't need somebody to put the numbers in front of you. You're watching the game and you see it, right? So you got to watch the game and see it. Mm-hmm. I also thought, so you ask why. Why mm-hmm. is happening right now?
Yeah.
If I'm walking in the office tomorrow and I'm limping, right? Like, you're like, oh, why are you limping? I got a broken foot, or I got a bad ankle, or I got a hip, or, you know. And I think that right now, when I'm watching the Sabres, mm-hmm. it's a mental, I'm going to use a word, brokenness, right? Like, mentally, the team has this injury that is really, really slowing them down. And mm-hmm. say, well, how do you tell? Well, I can tell because 19 seconds in, you give up a goal, right? And then, you know, not too long later, you'll give up another one. You take too many penalties. You don't cover the weight. Wait, but on the other side of things, I watch, like, Tage is trying, but there's times where, like, 5-on-3, Tage has got the puck and he's trying to skate himself into a position to shoot the puck and it gets blocked. And you're like, okay, well, that's not on the game plan. Like, to mm-hmm. say, I'm going to take it from the left side, skate through high and try to shoot the puck. He's trying to get a few things. You score to make it 2-1. in the next 5 minutes after you made it 2-1, you did not get a shot on goal. And then it became 3-1 for with Slafkovský scoring, and then you got on the penalty train. Boom, boom, boom. Like, if you're confident, yeah, we got it. Let's go, 2-1. Okay, now the next shift, you get two shots. You're back on top of it. You're rolling. But it's not happening. And it's not physical, because we see guys shooting pucks. We see guys skating, and, you know, we see guys practicing. It is a mental brokenness right now that is hampering this team, and it weighs on the players to go and lose 11 and give up a goal 19 seconds in and be down 6-1 after two, and it weighs on them. But you have to, if my conditioning is off, I'm gonna ride the bike and I'm gonna go on the treadmill. I'm gonna work on that conditioning, right? To be able to just make gains. Right now, it's like you gotta work on getting yourself in the right frame of mind. Do whatever exercise, mental preparation, visualization, do extra videos, do extra meetings, like, or maybe don't do anything at all. But you gotta find the right idea to make it work right now, because it hasn't worked.
Part of that, I mean, lines up with one of Lindy's comments last night. And it was probably specifically the first goal. I would lump it in with the first 5 minutes. But when he said, it bothered us too much. And that's what you're saying here. Like, there is, I don't care how ugly or how beautiful a goal might have been 20 seconds in. It's one goal. It's one goal. I know, easy for us to say, but it need not bother you, right? Like, this, if anything, you could tell me this dynamic a little more. Harder to do, I get it, when you haven't been stacking up the wins. But based on something we've talked about, and that was their inability to win games of late when they score first.
Yeah.
Like, somebody could have turned to somebody and said,
we're going to win one, you know? Because we got scored on first this time. Let's go. But
you know what I mean, yeah. Right? Like, I'm pushing down that path because I want to know, like, what it takes to have certain players who are, we always talk about, like, you can't have 20 people the same, right? You can't have 20 people affected the same way by every play.
Nope.
That's it. So, like, how do you foster that type of attitude where somebody says this or somebody reacts this way? And because Pat Coletta, being in studio with us last night, you know, he was really interested, concerned, and passionate about, like, what that room could have and should have felt like after 20 minutes last night. Right. And I mean, my assumption from the outside would always be like, you can't really worry about hurting somebody's feelings in this moment. Right.
You can't.
You have to let it out to make sure that everybody can find a way back together. It's a tough love type of moment, right?
It's a tough love type of moment, but it's also tough love with yourself type of moment.
Yes.
Like, kick yourself in the rear end and say, I'm going to go. And what were some of the things that this group has talked about and Lindy Ruff and the coaching staff has talked about? Obviously, special teams, right? Mm-hmm. Both the power play and the PK. Well, that didn't happen. Like, go on. You're giving an opportunity to make a difference in the game in either an offensive position or defensive position, but you're given an opportunity. Tough in front of the net. Like, that's always been the talk. Like, you got to be tough in front of the net. Well, tough in front of the net did not happen in this game, because there was, I get it. People are going to say, well, Stefkowski's goal is from below the goal line. Yeah, but there was a puck battle that was lost right before that. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't have happened, right? Josh Anderson, he was on the doorstep and scored and made it 6-1. There was nobody there to take Josh Anderson. Like, there was, are the Sabres getting those looks right now? Are teams making it easy on the Sabres to get those looks? No, you got to work, but it seems like every night we're looking at two or three opportunities and most often goals that you're like, oh, Sabres made it easy right there. So yeah, you cannot be looking at each other and say, we're going to be easy on each other's feelings. Mm-hmm. I saw this clip the other day about this coach, and she's talking to our team. And, you know, the one girl kind of looked over to the other girl and was like, hey, got to make that play. Come on, got to make that play. And she puts her head down like, oh, I got, she's like, no hurt feelings here. We're a team, right? So we understand two things. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to tell the truth, mm-hmm. and we're not going to have hurt feelings. Like, right. That's the thing. Like, if I, look, you don't want to be the jerk eater and go out there and be like, well, you're soft and you're, no. Like, there's enough for everybody. But at the same time, like, if you step up in the room and you say, come on, like, you know, I've seen Henrik Lundqvist do it. And I'm like, mm-hmm. at times I was like, hey, this is a little, like, I wouldn't do it personally, right. but the people do. And mm-hmm. he'd be like, hey, get out of my way when the shot comes. Like, I need to see it. And you're like, okay, but no hurt feelings, right? Because at the end, I know that the guy that is saying, get out of my way, is giving 100% and he wants to win. And that's the difference. Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm saying, get out of my way, and you know what? You over there, how about you don't turn the puck over? And then I go on the ice and I do the exact same thing I'm telling people not to do. Then mm-hmm. they're going to say, hey, shut the hell up, right? Like, you're not. But so I think right now, everybody's kind of like worried about their own game, trying to get their own game going. But mm-hmm. It's also not resulting in anything.
Right. And when you go back to a simple question like why, and that can be asked of any number of things, the league in general, it's like you gravitate to that number of three.
Yes.
Three goals for, and we now live in a world that is much more three goals against, as opposed to the prior era where we briefly saw some goals against in the Hasek and post-Hasek era under two, but then it started coming back. So it's like a 3-3 type league until late in the game, right? And so when the Sabres were over 500 after the California trip, they were right around three goals for, and they were right around three goals against. But now that disparity, like over the course of 11 games, you're scoring two goals per game and you're giving up four. Like it's almost exactly on.
Yeah.
Four goals against per game and two goals for, which simple math tells you it's impossible to win. Right. Well, and then there's the factors, 5-on-5, power play, penalty kill, goaltending, absence of Dahlin, absence of like XYZ
Greenway
in the form
yesterday,
of,
whatever.
Well, yeah. But, yeah. To take the Greenway and just, you know, widen the scope, it's more about, okay, but like Greenway, McLeod, Zucker had an impact earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. Now, which three are going to play together and have the desired impact? Because now it seems like it's very hard to find the right three to play together over and over and over to get those periods of time like you talked about post-Cousins goal when it's 2-1. Okay, well, which two and three lines can we send that are going to repeatedly amp up the shot total here? Like, I'm Marty.
The game started 9-0, the shots on goal.
Yeah, but
9-0.
What did the Toronto game start on Sunday?
Yeah.
Exactly the opposite. And now for five periods since, it's been the other way than what it started in Toronto. And I came on in the first intermission with you and I said, Marty, one of my favorite things that I've looked at all year was their shot volume, their shot mentality, their drawing of penalties, their offensive approach to the start of the game in Toronto.
And they were up 3-1, 2-0 and 3-1 in that game.
Yes.
Now in Toronto it was a different issue. Toronto, they got, you know, well, different issue, same issue. Penalty trouble in the second period. The Leafs get momentum. Now you got, you know, you got punched in the stomach a couple of times. You're hesitating. You're backing off. And in 2 minutes and 31 seconds, I believe it was 4-3. Gave up three goals, and it was 4-3. Against Montreal, you got kicked early. And then, okay, well, the end of the first period, you got going a little bit. You had, what, four or five shots in the first period yesterday? It says four. But you had one at 5-on-5. Shot attempts at 5-on-5 were 25-7. 25-7 were the shot attempts at 5-on-5. Mm-hmm. You had a power play, and you had two penalties that you took. So, okay, you gave Montreal those opportunities, but then you got more into penalty troubles. And, okay, I get. Should, could, or would have been a call on Brendan Gallagher when he tripped Bo Byram at 3-1 in front of net and then 30 seconds later, Byram takes a slashing penalty that starts a penalty train? Absolutely. But you know what? In the National Hockey League and in many, many, many sports, teams that don't play well, teams that lose, teams that are not doing the things they should, they take more penalties. That's just the fact of the way it is. In the National Hockey League right now, Duffer, the top four, like the top three teams in penalties taken this season are the Boston Bruins, the Buffalo Sabres, and the Montreal Canadiens. Well, you know what? Like Boston is kind of staying afloat a little bit, but they're not the Boston Bruins that they used to be. And you know what? They weren't that great a team, so much so that their coach got fired. And what happens? Well, you don't get the benefit of calls. You don't get the benefit of saying, oh, you know what? I'm drawing more penalties that I'm taking. Why? Because that's the way it is. The Vegas Golden Knights have taken the least amount of penalties in the National Hockey League this year. Okay, the Edmonton Oilers, the Minnesota Wild, the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're good teams. And, well, maybe it's human nature, but good teams get the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. Get to be a good team, and you're going to get the benefit of the doubt to be saying, well, Gallagher tripped Byram and there was no call. And then Byram takes a penalty and then Tuck gets the ice stick and then Cousin puts the puck over the glass. But he also didn't make it hard on the referees. Those were all penalties and easy to call. And you end up giving up 2 5-on-3 goals.
Bruins have won 2 in a row and are 7-3 in the last 10. They had a comeback win against Calgary last night. And, of course, Ottawa continued their incredible run thanks to Linus Allmark, almost, I dare say, exclusively, because he's won 6 in a row and only allowed 5 goals over the 6 games. You're hearing that right. Like, it is remarkable. And honestly, Mark, I don't know if I've ever seen it the way it unfolded. Like, when the Senators came onto the ice to hug him after the game, like, I felt like Brady Tkachuk talked to him for like 30 seconds. And it was almost just like, thank you, we love you, thank you, we love. But it was just like, and the comments are just like, it is unreal right now playing behind this guy. Like, it has turned, his return to Vezina form has changed their fortunes. And now 5 teams from the Atlantic occupy the playoff spots.
Yeah.
Both wild card and, of course, the top three in the division, of which Ottawa is wild card 2 to 6 points back of division leading Toronto. Yeah. Like, they have found it. And so going back to the why.
But somebody asked me this morning, how many points are the Sabres out of a playoff spot right now? And I said, okay, they are 8 points out of a playoff spot, right? Ottawa is the last playoff spot at 34, and the Sabres are at 26. The problem is there's 7 teams in between. Like, 8 points is like, okay, we could probably make up 8 points, but there's 7 teams in between. And Pittsburgh was in a playoff spot before Ottawa regained that playoff spot. The Rangers are in a free fall, but, I mean, the Rangers, they're still a team that has pieces that, you know, there's 7 teams that you have to try to jump over. It's not just the 8 points, it's the 7 teams between you and the playoff spots.
Yeah, I never worry about the teams in between because I know full well that if you have 2 good weeks, you're going to jump 3 or 4 of them. And then if you have 2 more good weeks, you're going to jump the next range of them. It's just the way it goes. It's not a great like, the optics aren't great when you look at the number of teams in between. But the reality is most teams over the next 10 games are going to be very close to 5-5. And if you go 7-3, you will have gained 4 points on everybody. And then you repeat the cycle 20. Look, the Penguins were 5 below .500.
Yeah.
Now they've gone 7-2-1. They look like all their pieces, the Buntings of the world, the Raquels of the world. I know Crosby hasn't scored in 10 games, but guess what? Everybody else is doing their part.
Yes.
And Sid still picks up. You know what I mean? So, like, that's why I was very hesitant to jump on the let's bash Pittsburgh early on in the year. Let's assume Sullivan is being ousted as coach. Like, I am never, ever betting against Sidney Crosby. Ever.
Yeah,
and
that's
just because they've missed the playoffs a couple of times lately by minuscule amounts of points does not take them out of the equation.
Yeah, so, their goaltending was so bad, though, that it looked like it was going nowhere. But Jari got a reset in the American League and played a little bit better. Nedeljkovic, healthier, plays better. Like, now you're like, okay, well, it comes down to maybe goaltending. And okay, well, let's look at the Sabres right now. Like, they're giving up too many goals. Am I blaming the goalies on that? No, but it's part of your job.
Yes.
To not give him up. So they're giving up too many goals, right? Even if Devin Levi played a great game Sunday in Toronto, Lindy Ruff after the game says, we got a heck of a game out of Levi.
Which was just the same as his first game of the year in Prague. When it was, we let a really good goaltending performance get away in the sense that we didn't get any points on the back of that excellent goaltending performance. And that's,
if you give up four, I'm not saying like you can win games giving up four once in a while, and maybe Sunday would have been one of those situations. You could have given up 4-1 because your goalie should have given up 6 or 7 and only gave up 4. But Sabres are giving up too many goals right now. Like Pittsburgh was giving up too many goals at the start of the year, and now they're not giving up as many.
Take a quick break, get around the NHL and obviously how it impacts the Sabres and what they can do to get out of this funk that they are in. Boston and Toronto are on the docket this weekend. It's the Leafs on Friday at home. It's at Boston on Saturday. You can stay locked in with Sabres all season long with text alerts. Be the first to know about exclusive ticket offers, merchandise drops, and more. You can text Sabres to 956-97. To sign up today. We are back after this on Sabres Live.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Deck your home with Blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation. Plus free samples and free shipping.
Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom mock-ups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Deck your home this holiday season with Blinds.com. Save up to 40% on select styles, plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com.
Blinds.com.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres are off today and return to practice tomorrow. The hope is Rasmus Dahlin is a part of that and then ready to return from his seven-game absence this weekend against Toronto and Boston. Of course, that's, you know, that's where the hope is right now. And
he looked good skating yesterday in the morning skate, Duffer. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, he stepped on the ice. He looked good. He was pushing.
Yep.
I actually thought, is there a chance that he could play against Montreal? And then obviously they said he needs to get a team practice and we need to see it also. They said it wasn't going to happen, but there was a piece of me watching the morning skate that thought, he's pushing really hard and like almost like a guy that wants to play and ready to play just needs an extra day or two to make sure everything is good.
And the Amerks are playing tonight. They've got two this week against Syracuse at Blue Cross Arena. They're dealing with some injury issues as well. So we'll see when, if Hellenius and Wahlberg, Hellenius, they're kind of questionable in the questionable, the day-to-day range here. So there's kind of some fluidity as far as Wahlberg's been out for a few games, but Hellenius, you know, could kind of join that sideline for a little bit, but they obviously are coming off a terrific weekend in Belleville and they are just right in the thick of it as far as, you know, the top of the division is concerned. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, just the likes of Roseanne's progress here of late. And the reason, many reasons why we go down this path, obviously, is it's opportunity every single time. Like mm-hmm. Pat Coletta was just hammering that home last night in pregame and first period. Like, that's why you can't have the group be affected, bothered, worried about those early game moments last night for as long as they were. Like, there's just so much opportunity to change the narrative. And, you know, for an organization that has drafted high and has these prospects, like Jiří being in the lineup now for the bulk of this season for the Sabres. Roseanne was only up briefly, but has to know that the results are not there for the Sabres right now. What can I do to force my way back into the mix? Tyson Kozak unexpectedly made his NHL debut, found his way to the back of the net, right? Like, and then beyond all of that is what the players are dealing with now from an outside noise / media standpoint mm-hmm. and the expectation of change. And Alex Tuck's comments to start the show from post-game last night, that it happens within the room, this change. But we all know the reality of sports. Not always the case. So you look at social, you talk to people, you get flooded with suggestions, trade proposals, ideas, frustration, hope. It's all in one big bundle, right? Like, that's what sports does. So what do you think is going to happen here in this next little bit of time? How real is something significant, in your opinion, as far as a transaction, multiple transactions?
Well, I think the, what are we today? We're Tuesday. So the freeze
pretty
happens on Friday.
It's Wednesday.
Today is Wednesday. You're right. Sorry. I'm a day late, a dollar short and a day late. So the freeze is starts on Friday here. So before the freeze, no, I don't see anything happening. Yeah, isn't it?
I don't know.
We're the 18th. The freeze is on the 20th. So the freeze is on Friday. Nothing's going to happen before then. And I still think the idea right now is to say, got to figure it out. You got to. And it's not even about, oh, that would be a free pass and somebody gets traded and then all of a sudden there's a reset. No, because if somebody gets traded, does it change the way that everybody is approaching the game and playing the game right now? No, it doesn't change. Everybody's got to take a step forward and get that change. Now, the biggest thing for me is that I get the team is off today and there's rules in place when it comes to days off. And, you know, I was part of a large group of players. I was like, hey, we need to negotiate this into the CBA where we get days off that are planned for the month, right? You get your 4 days off for the month and you know before the month is starting, those are going to be days off. Why? Because we never had any, especially if you were a young player and me, a backup goalie early on, you would go months without never having a day off, never. And that's tough. That's tough on everything. But so I get that. But I'm also looking at, okay, would the record have been different over the last 11 games if every morning skate, every practice, every opportunity you had to go on the ice was an hour practice and you really worked everybody to the ground, like to the point where it's like, oh, I'm exhausted, right? I get it. Sports science, get in and whatever. But at some point you're like, okay, now we got to change it. And look, my son plays college hockey and they've lost a few in a row. And the last time, you know, they played Penn State their last game and they lost. And he's like, oh, this week's not going to be easy. And it's like, is it different? Yeah, you play two games a week. You can have a Monday, Tuesday practice where you're getting work to the ground. And then you have Wednesday, Thursday to prepare for the Friday, Saturday game. I get that. But the one thing right now is I feel like I'm sure Lindy Ruff and the coaching staff is looking around and saying, when is that practice where everything is battle drill, everything is, you know, race to the puck, everything is all of that, where we just completely empty the tank. And we'll see what happens, because over the last 11, you're 0-8-3. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's, we got to save some for the game. Let's have the morning off so we can have energy for the game. Some games have been close and some games they've played well enough probably to win, but it hasn't mm-hmm. happened. So I'm thinking the next step is probably before trade, before anything is, the tank is going to be on empty after a few practices. And we'll see what happens with that.
Do you think players are thinking, like, do you think the outside noise affects the current group of players differently than even your era, if you will, of players, which is not that long ago? And how do you think they do deal with this?
Great question, because the outside noise is different, right? Like, the outside noise for us was the media asking you question, right? And it almost, there was, the outside noise wasn't as loud, but the inside noise was louder. Like, we created the inside noise more in the room of, you know, when you're being asked, losing games. Now I think more because of social media and everything, athletes are conditioned to try to tune out the outside noise. That almost becomes tuning out some of the inside noise that usually is loud, right? Because your brain is conditioned to say, I'm not going to go on social media. I'm not going to, you know, watch it. I'm going to try to put a smile on my face. Has there been more outside noise on this team than over the last 48 hours? No, because, you know, you have Mr. Pegula coming in. You know, everybody's talking about, well, Cousins is probably going to get traded. And now there's rumors about Vancouver and Elias Pettersson. And then you're like, oh, Vancouver is saying, no, that's not true. And there's a lot of outside noise. There's a lot of outside pressures, mm-hmm. right? And then 19 seconds in Montreal, you give up a goal, you lose 6-1. So I'm saying the outside noise doesn't reach players the way that it used to, because it was different. But it's the inside noise that has to be absorbed. and that has to be responded to. But I think sometimes your mind is so conditioned to shield the outside noise away that mm-hmm. you're also shielding the inside noise that you should be paying attention to.
So you never want to be in this position because it would be perceived as a not a position of strength, having lost 11 in a row.
Yeah.
The reality is no matter who's up, who's down, who's even across the board, ongoing discussions, ongoing realities with roster configurations, injuries. Yeah. Like, for example, Vancouver, from before the preseason and navigating the start of the year without Demko, not only was Lankinen heroic in keeping them in a great position,
yeah,
they've been looking for defensemen. This has been widely known. Their defense is not what they need it to be to match their end of season goals. So this talk doesn't just come about because one team is here, one team, you know, is at a completely opposite position. There are realities in all of this. So
I
view this as an opportunity to thoughtfully look at other teams, their needs, and contrast it with what the Sabres need to see if there's good fits here to make changes, because whether it's 100% what Alex Tuch said, that the change has to, can only, however you want to phrase it, come from within the current walls of the room, or whether it actually does contain a little pop, a little boost from the outside to get everybody back up in the right direction.
And are you going to get full value right now if you make a trade? Probably not. Like, but,
yeah, but
because
you could.
You're underperforming. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you get full value. Are you doing what's best for your club, right? Like Bill Guerin always says, when I make a trade, I'm not trying to fleece the other team. I'm not even trying to win the trade. I don't care if the player X that I send to you does better with you. Is my team going to do better in the end because I made the trade? Right? Is my team going to be better? Like, maybe that player doesn't perform as well as the other guy. Like, yesterday on the press box in Montreal media gathered, over a couple of hot dogs between, you know, during the intermission, whatnot. And they're like, look at all the players Buffalo let go. Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhardt, Brendan Montour, Ryan O'Reilly, Rasmus Ristolainen, Linus Solmark. They all let him go. Who cares? Because at the end of the day, if your team was performing and your team was better, you would say, I don't care that we don't have all these guys. It's about us, mm-hmm. right? So my thinking now is that, are you at that point where you say, major, major roster reconfiguration need to happen? And are you maybe not willing to not get 100% in return? Maybe it's 90% in return, but maybe in the end, your team is better than that. Like yesterday in the game, Duffer, 5-on-5 shot attempts. Jiří Kulik was number one with 5 shot attempts. Your next players were 5 defensemen. Clifton, Gilbert, Joki Aryu, Samuelson, Power, and then Jason Zucker got in there. Like, they were tied at 3 shot attempts at 5-on-5. You had 5 defensemen, Jiří Kulik and Jason Zucker, as your players with most shot attempts in the game.
And just for perspective on that, Mike Matheson had 9 shot attempts in the first period alone.
Yeah, and he played almost 9 minutes.
Right. So much more is needed in the way of shots, shot attempts, zone time, any number of ways you want to cut it.
Yeah.
There has to be more of an offensive presence.
And, so. But are, at this point, like, if you take any players on the Sabres and mm-hmm. you say, oh, you know what, we're getting call on that player.
Yeah.
You're probably not getting the return that, because you're evaluating your players and you still think that those players are better. They're better than what their performances are right now. They're better, like, and I, you know, use Dylan Cousins for an example, but you're looking at Dylan Cousins, you're like, that player is better than what I'm getting. So I should be getting this value. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that, well, the value you're going to get is the value of what you're getting on the ice right now. And that's what is out there. That's what is probably being talked about.
Is it reasonable to view trades like we were recently viewing and discussing coaches' challenges? You don't know until you do it.
Yeah. Well, that's 100%. Right?
And so remember, and I don't want to say you scoffed in partnership with Shayna, but I suggested earlier this year that if Mackenzie Blackwood keeps playing and a contending team gets desperate enough, that he could easily go for a first-round pick. And remember, I'm not talking a top 10 protected pick. I'm talking a late first-round pick, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like assessing value, like you can't just say that a first-round pick holds this somehow infinite value for years down the road. Because the truth of the matter is, do the math. Most of them don't turn out anyway. And I look at the trade that just happened with Blackwood. Kovalenko's a point a game since he went to San Jose. Mm-hmm. So at worst, the San Jose Sharks have found themselves a top nine player who can help right now.
A good prospect.
I don't know what that value is mathematically, but it's value. They replaced Blackwood with a somewhat similar, but oh, by the way, top three in NHL wins, which means there's only two other goalies like him the last 2 years in Georgiev, who is also still a trade chip and has value. And they got a second round pick. Mm-hmm. Like to me, if I put those three assets together, I would take that every day as opposed to a first round pick. Yeah. Unless I knew 100% that it was the deepest first round pick in history and I was going to be picking like seventh or above. You know what I mean? So this is a long way of saying you don't know until you do it. And well, I get it. We have precedents. We have history of trading some players and stuff like that. But you know what I mean? Like
7 years ago, the Colorado Avalanche, the Ottawa Senators, and the Nashville Predators made a big trade, right?
Oh, yeah.
Matt Duchene trade.
Matt Duchene, yeah.
When it first happened, okay, so Matt Duchene went to Ottawa, Cal Turris went to Nashville, and how about this? Shane Bowers, Andrew Hammond, a conditional first-round pick that became Bo Byram, mm-hmm. Sam Girard, a second-rounder, went to Colorado. Mm-hmm. When it happened, Cal Turris was great at that first in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And Matt Duchene is the best player in the deal.
Yeah.
Who won that deal? Colorado.
They have a cup. And the other two do not. So,
And exactly. But at the end of the day, it's like you don't know until you make the trade. And Colorado didn't know, but they said, we got to do it. And they ended up getting it.
We're tight for time. That I know. Yeah. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
There are many, but in reality, there's only one. Happy birthday to Billie Eilish today. What a year. Unbelievable year. Sky's the limit. Amazing talent.
Yeah, and you know, when my kids first started talking about Billie Eilish, and they're like, and Phineas, right?
Phineas, seeing him in February again.
My first thought was to, like, Phineas and Ferbs. Like, you remember the kids' cartoon? Like, I was so not into, like, what's going on in the real world of music. Mm. And I thought, wait, there's a Phineas and Ferbs character with Billie Eilish? Like, I had no idea. So, yeah.
Do you have a favorite birthday today beyond Billie?
I am going to go with Keith Richards, who's 81 years old today and has
still
been
touring.
Probably
still playing.
Still playing and still rocking. It's pretty crazy.
All right. Big plans the rest of the day?
Got a lot going on. Family's coming back from South Africa today, so lots of pictures to be seen.
Yeah. Congratulations on that success, folks. We'll see you tomorrow. Sabres Live.